When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Jake Braun, the portfolio manager in Associated Bank's Wealth Management and Institutional Services Division. Jake, welcome back.
Steve, thank you for having me again. It's great to be back.
I want to focus our conversation in on recession. We have been talking about this, it seems, for months and months. Will we have a light recession? Will we have a heavy recession? No recession at all? What is the crystal ball pointing to today?
The crystal ball. I'm going to preface this with a couple things. Number one, to your point, this has been a long time in the making, at least the conversation. I remember last year, last summer, we started the first two quarters with negative GDP growth, slightly, but that created a lot of discussion over, are we in the recession? Looking back, no, we weren't. And so here we are with the still the most anticipated recession in my recollection. And it's still a valid question because things are slowing down. So I guess it's helpful to start, are we in one right now? And that's a bit of a tough question to answer only because collecting data on the entire economy in a real-time basis is a monumental task that always carries imperfections. But the last two quarters have been positive growth. The Atlanta Fed puts out their own real-time estimate, which indicates likely positive growth for this quarter. When you dig in some of the other indicators that are looked at, most of them look positive. They're slowing. They're still positive. The one exception might be manufacturing and trade sales, some commodities as well. But where we stand today, I think, is not in a recession. And so to your question, what does the crystal ball show? When we look forward and we try to guess where we might head, looking back through history is usually the first point we go to. And the path of the rate hikes that we've had, the severity and the speed of them tells us that we should be heading into a recession. Timing, to your question, is the tricky part. But if we just go by those rate hike signals, looking at the past, the time from the final rate hike to the first rate cut tends to only be a few months. And a lot of times that first cut happens when a recession is going on. So usually the time from the last rate hike to the official beginning of a recession tends to be very short, usually less than a year. There's notable exceptions, but that tends to be the cause. To your other point, though, is it going to be a severe? Is it going to be a soft recession? Is it going to be no recession? I think it's unlikely that we have no recession just because the leading indicators and the efforts of the Fed. But when we look at the distinguishing factors between a hard landing and a soft landing, usually the soft landings are not preceded by inflationary issues. We have had those inflationary issues. So that kind of history would tell us we're likely headed for a hard landing with correction in the housing market and millions of job losses. Now, to that point, we've already seen a bit of a lockup in the housing market, so maybe some of that's front-loaded. But if you're asking me to look through my crystal ball, I think a hard landing is in the cards. Timing, if you force me to guess, I think we have enough strength in the economy and the labor market to keep this thing going. But by next year, I think that's a realistic timeline.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for you because there are a couple of things that we watch closely to look at recessions and their possibility or likelihood. And one of them you've mentioned is the labor market. We've had a strong job report after strong job report. And the last one earlier this month was strong, way above where everybody thought it was going to be. And then I also want to get into consumer spending and the Fed decision again on interest rates that will be coming up. And we can hit both of those. But start first with the jobs market. How do we have a recession when we have such a strong jobs market?
You don't. That's the first answer. The jobs are a coincident indicator. What that means is they happen at the same time that we'd expect economic growth. So that's the reason why you look back last year when we were talking about, oh, GDP growth is negative. Is this a recession? No, jobs growth was so strong, you just really cannot have a recession with such amazing job growth. And so right now, No, I don't think there's a recession because we have this really great jobs growth. The last jobs report came out, and we're still adding jobs in the hundreds of thousands. And again, I think that's what has helped propel this continuing positive growth in the economy. 70% of our economy is consumer spending, and consumers get their spending from their savings and their income, and they still have excess savings from the pandemic stimulus. It's slated towards the higher income earners, but it's still around, sloshing around in the economy in bank accounts. But people have also been getting positive raises and negotiating higher salaries with a very tight labor market. So that is, I think, the best case, to your point, for why a recession could continue to be pushed off. That being said, jobs don't tell you where the economy is headed. It's not a leading indicator. And so it's not necessarily something that I would use to forecast. So they tell you what's going on right now. But going forward with as profits have fallen 20% from their peak last year, and with the increased tightening, and we're seeing some slowdown in industrial production, that leads us to believe that you're going to continue to see a crunch on profits, especially as a lot of this debt in the economy gets rolled over at these higher rates. That's one of those long-term slow drags from interest rates. I think you'll continue to see profit crunch. And eventually, I think that works its way into the labor market.
You know, and one of the things that we will see is layoffs starting to happen. And we kind of get a snapshot of that with the weekly unemployment numbers that come in. Those really haven't been moving one way or another. But I know there are some analysts who say that that's probably going to change in the next couple of months.
That's what I would look for your first clue for weakening labor market. Do you begin to see an increasing number of layoffs in a widespread across different industries, to the point that we're talking about that strong labor market report that came out recently, that showed broad growth across industries. And so, yeah, that the layoff numbers, I think that'll be your first clue when it begins to meaningfully rise consistently. Looking back at recessions, we tend to see layoffs reach the 300,000 plus level. We're nowhere close to that, but that would be a clear signal to me.
Yeah. And the disconnect I think a lot of people have when they hear us talking about this is that many companies are still hurting for workers. They're still trying to find the amount of workers that they need to do their stuff every day. Talk to us a little bit about that, the fact that some of these companies are still looking for workers.
Yeah, so it's concentrated in a couple industries, but especially service industries and healthcare, but really across the board, we still have two job openings for every single unemployed person. And that's a big reason why you continue to see wage growth outpace the target, is because there's just not enough workers really across the board. And so workers are able to negotiate those higher wages. So we can slice and dice, and we can look at where is this shortage coming from. And largely the story is older workers. When you compare the labor market to the time before the pandemic, we see, okay, which areas have caught up, which haven't. The prime age workers, so 25 to 55, they've caught up. They're all back in the labor force. But the 55 to 65 and older crowd, they took early retirement and they have not come back in the labor force. Normally, you could offset that with younger workers, but the baby boomers are the ones who retired, the largest generation, and the ones taking their place are the Gen Z, which are just a much, much smaller generation. And so a lot of this is demographic combined with the effects of the pandemic. So people want to work. People are working, and a lot of our numbers are back to where they were, but it's really hard to overcome those sheer raw population number differences between generations. And that's kind of where we're stuck, because the only way to increase the number of workers is by having more kids, which, well, that, even if you can sling that, that takes 20 years to take effect, or increase immigration. So core political problem. So yeah, it's a problem. It's difficult, and I don't see an easy solution.
And the third point that I wanted to get your discussion on is the Fed. And there's some betting that the Fed might be done raising interest rates. They have a meeting coming up. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the odds are shifting. It looks like June, they'll likely not hike. And then the big question becomes, are they done or are they doing a skip? and they have a July meeting, and so I think the odds are increasing. I don't know exactly where they're at, but they're higher than June that there'll be another hike in July. So it appears that the Fed is weighing either being done or taking a beat for a month, seeing what the effects are, and then coming back around in July for another hike. And they're getting into, their language has shifted recently, and they're getting more into, you know, we're just going to see how things go. Let's see how the data responds. We'll do it one at a time if we have to. Maybe we'll take a couple months off. But it makes it harder to predict what they'll do. But the skip, I think, is a scenario that's becoming most likely right now.
And then what does Wall Street tell us about how well the economy is doing and the chances of a recession? I know we've seen some stocks rally recently. The S&P 500 has been on a tear. What does that tell us about the possibility of a recession and the health of the economy?
Well, I'll tell you that it sure does not appear that a recession is being priced in, either in the bond or the stock market. At the high level, the S&P 500, the major market indexes, are 20% up above their October lows. So that's really, by a lot of definitions, a bull market. But what's very unique and kind of concerning about that is that that growth has been very narrow. And what I mean by that is the rise in the market has been led by a very, very, very small handful of companies: Apple, Microsoft, NVIDIA, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Tesla, Netflix, and another chip maker, AMD. Those companies together account for nearly all of the gains to date in the S&P 500. The other 491 names together have accounted for no growth. Small and mid-cap stocks, I think I just saw they were at negative growth for the year. The entire market story has been nine mega cap names, and that kind of narrowness just it doesn't indicate that there's a lot of confidence across the board. And so while it's great if you hold that, I mean, gains are nice to have, it doesn't show a lot of strength. And so I think that's why a lot of technicians are concerned that it would just take a little bit of negative sentiment to turn that around. But it also creates opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of those names that aren't as popular, that don't get the headlines, are actually pretty nice deals at the moment.
And what are you telling your clients about how to position their portfolios and themselves and their money as we move forward through all of this?
Yeah. So number one is don't time the market. Don't jump 100% in, 100% out. Steve, I know I'm a broken record. You might be sick of hearing me say that, but that is always my first piece of advice. You'll never time it right going in and going out. You'll end up hurting yourself. But you can take we take a tactical approach. So seeing the risk coming down, sticking close to long-term allocations, but increasing your allocation to cash. Cash paying you 5% to effectively sit on the sidelines. So keeping maybe 12, 24 months even of your distributions, or increasing your allocation to cash. I think other fixed income like treasury and high quality corporates are even more attractive. So just we're no longer in the era, at least right now, of equities being your only opportunity to make money. So balancing out your risks is one thing we're doing. And as I said earlier, recognizing within equities that there's a handful of names that have become quite overvalued based on history. And meanwhile, large areas of the market, small cap, mid cap, you can find the key to winning over the long term is stacking up small wins, not hitting home runs every single time. And so taking some of these small adjustments, looking at areas that give you a better risk return trade-off or that are undervalued, that's what we're doing, and that's what we always do. And right, we think it'll work out best for our clients.
Jake, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, I would be happy. I love talking to anyone, client or no client. Email me, jacob.brond@associatedbank.com, or give me a call, 414-278-1864.
All right, Jake, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Steve.